Fred Film Radio.
International Film Festivals and Awards Macau. Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2nd International Film Festival and Awards Macau. Very pleased to be joined by actor Udo Kier. I wanted to ask you a very simple question, because obviously you're receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award here. Yeah. But I'm wondering, did you...
Career Award. I hate that word, live achievement.
That's what I was thinking. I never really know how people react to receiving awards like
these. Well, first, I have a few, and in general, they're called live achievement. But when I saw the catalog here, and I was invited here, and they're called it career, I think that's much better. Live achievement, you feel like an architect who built an amazing building. But careers can be anything.
Right.
It's more spread.
Yeah. But did you always sort of want to become an actor? Was that your initial intention?
No.
When you were a kid growing up?
No. I make it short, I'm born in Germany at the end of the war, 44. And it was a horrible time, of course, as a child you don't understand it. I understood it later when I was 12 or 13, much better than when I was 2 years old. And I didn't like Germany, and I wanted to go away. No acting. And I went to England because we had no possibility that I went to high school. So I went to England to learn English. And then one day a group of people came to me and said, we're doing a movie, and we would like that you play the part. And I said, well, I have never done this. I don't know how to do that. And they said, leave it to us. We will guide you. So it was in south of France. The film was called Road to Saint-Tropez, because we shot also in Saint-Tropez. And so it was very strange, because they didn't want to make me nervous for a close-up, so they were far away from me. And I was just looking with the camera. I said, why are they so far away? But I didn't know that I was in CinemaScope like this on the whole screen. And then I got right away, there is in America an agency called William Morris, who is the biggest one in the whole world. And they signed me up, and the magazine went crazy over the pictures they printed. So then I said to myself, if I can live from this, then I will do that. So, and 50 years later, I'm sitting here with you and get a career award.
This is interesting, because I'm always curious about finding out about the images in film that remain over time. What was your reaction to seeing your face on the big screen for the first time in a close-up in CinemaScope? Do you remember?
Of course I remember. I was first I was surprised, and then I was amazed, and then of course I got a lot of attention from people, and of course I loved it. Mm-hmm. And you know, and then immediately played the leading part in two movies in Austria. One became a cult film, which you can still rent out and buy. It's called Mark of the Devil.
Yeah.
It's about witch hunting. And that was my first color film. And so on and so on. And then I'm a lucky man. People contacted me like, you know, I worked with Fassbinder a lot, then with Werner Herzog, with Wim Wenders, in the last 20 years with Lars von Trier, or now Gus van Sant. And I chose very well my films.
Yeah.
Like now I have two films in Sundance and competition. I have one film directed by a woman from Italy in competition in Berlin. So it's life is good.
Yeah, one of which I've seen for sure, that's Brawl in Cell Block 99, right? Screening here as well.
Yeah, that was Zala, the director. He wrote, after that, he wrote The Puppet Master, but he didn't direct it. I played The Puppet Master, and then he directed another film which is not out yet. Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn, and I play in that film too.
Oh, great. Looking forward to that. Obviously, there's so much to talk about, but one of the filmmakers you mentioned there was Fassbender, and I heard somewhere, correct me if I'm wrong, you were friends with him before you actually started working with him.
I met Fassbender, he was 15 and a half, and I was 16. We met in a bar in Cologne. I'm born in Cologne, Germany, a beautiful cathedral. And we met, and we never talked about films. We just were watching people in the bar, kind of strange people, secretaries and truck drivers and a whole mixture of people. And when I was in London, after I started making my first movie, then I saw a magazine, Stern magazine, which is the biggest magazine in Germany, and they had a double page of his face saying Rainer Werner Fassbinder, the alcoholic and genius. And I thought that is Rainer, which I met in, wow. So anyway, then I met him and he offered me to work with him, and I said no. In Fox and His Friends, I didn't like the story. Oh. And then we started working together. He offered me right away another film, and then I did films with Hannah Schigula, Third Generation. I did Lola, Lily Marlene. And so there you have it.
Around that time, actors that worked with Fassbender didn't work with Herzog or Wenders at the time.
Yes, no, it was like, at that time, there were three directors. Two are still directors and working. It's Werner Herzog and Wim Wenders, and there was Fassbinder. And each one had their own actors. For example, Herzog had Klaus Kinski. Wim Wenders had Bruno Ganz, who is now working with Lars von Trier in the latest film. And we would have become a spy if I would have worked with Herzog and coming back to Fassbinder. They all would have said, so how does he direct? Tell us. So when Fassbinder died, then I worked with Herzog. I made two films with Herzog, The Invincible and My Son, What Have You Done, with Willem Dafoe and Michael Shannon. And then I made two films also with Wim Wenders, and we're friends now. So that's how that came along. But Fassbinder was, I think that from all the directors, that Fassbinder was maybe very strong to reflect Germany after the war, because he was half a year younger than me. So he was also just born at the end of the war.
It sure was an exciting time for films in Germany, filmmakers in Germany.
When?
Around that time, 60s, 70s, Herzog, Wenders, and lots of other people. But again, so much to talk about, but one of the things I wanted to ask you was working with Morrissey, Paul Morrissey, because your first roles were Frankenstein, Dracula. And I wonder whether you knew why you were cast in those parts.
Well, I can't tell.
Was it your eyes?
It's very easy. I was sitting in an airplane flying from Rome to Munich, and there was a man sitting next to me with a beard, and we started talking, and then he said, like all Americans, they always say what you do, but they get very private right away. And I said, I'm an actor, and I had a photograph already showing him, because I was at the beginning of my career. And he said, oh, interesting. He said, give me your number. And then he wrote my telephone number in his passport at the last page, in his American passport. There was no other number, and because I looked over when he was writing it, I had to tell him the number to make sure he write the right number. And then I thought, oh, wow, he writes my number in his passport. I said, who are you? What you do? And he said, I'm the director. My name is Paul Morrissey. I work for Andy Warhol. And then we met in Munich for a coffee that same afternoon. And then I got a call a couple of months later. And he said, here's Paul from New York. You remember from the airplane, the director. I said, yeah. He said, I'm doing a film for Carlo Ponti in Rome, in Cinecittà, and I have Frankenstein, and I have a little role for you. And I said, oh, great, what do I play? And he said, Frankenstein. So I thought he was making a joke, but he didn't joke. And then we worked Frankenstein, and Dracula was supposed to be somebody else. And the last day of shooting, which was very interesting because Fellini was shooting next studio, and all these strange characters from a Fellini movie. And then we worked 3 weeks on Frankenstein very fast. And then it was for me the end, I thought. And I went, Dr. Frankenstein went to the cantina, and then he came and said, well, we have a German Dracula. And I said, who? He said, you. But you have to lose 10 pounds in 1 week. I said, okay. So I didn't eat anymore, just salads and water, and I lost very quickly weight. And that's why in Dracula I sit in a wheelchair, because I had no power. Not all the time, but I was, the film starts with me in a wheelchair.
Yeah. I like your performances in those films. I guess I don't know if Morrissey was aware of this, but whenever I look at you in those films, it reminds me of another great German actor from the silent era, Conrad Veidt.
Yeah.
Do you know Conrad Veidt?
I didn't met him, but I know his work. Yeah, it's the same with when you talk about Nosferatu. Yeah. I mean, this is the people who were the first. So I made a wonderful vampire film, and I was a little bit jealous to Willem Dafoe, Shadow of the Vampire,
yeah.
Because I would have liked to play that role. And it was amazing. Willem went in the truck in the morning, and it's the people from the Hansons in London who have made the puppets, the Hansons, and they have makeup, special effects. So he walked in the morning and came out, Nosferatu. And I played the producer, and of course, Malkovich plays more now. And yes, ask me.
You've acted in so many films, but at one point you directed a movie, which I haven't been able to see.
No, I tried to direct the movie. Oh. I had this idea, and I started, and it was called Lola. And I wanted not Run Lola Run. My name was Roll Lola Roll, because I play a transsexual in a wheelchair who lives from telephone sex. So I casted, I was the producer, the director, and I casted real transsexual, transvestite, all in wheelchairs. They were in wheelchairs. So I have a club, it's called Outsiders on Wheels, and we live all from telephone sex. So we describe ourselves, the cripples, describe ourselves. Yes, I'm Swedish. I'm blonde. Yes. Yes, I'm shaved. So I started the movie, and I made a mistake. I hired only friends. You never do that for business. So my money was flying. We were a small team, $500 for chicken wings. I could have bought the whole Kentucky Fried Chicken that day. So I stopped. I paid everybody, cameraman from Denmark, so I paid everybody, and I made a little trailer. And I was sitting really at the year. I made the film the evening I started in the year 2000. I was sitting in a wheelchair under the Hollywood sign waiting something to happen, but nothing happened. I thought I had the camera, it was there, so I thought if an explosion comes, it's the new millennium, something has happened, nothing happened. So I have it still, and I still maybe do the film one day, and use the old material as flashback. When I tell sitting as an older person 20 years later in Las Vegas I'm a cow and tell the story. The answer is I know from the internet I made more than 200. And 100 films are bad, I mean, not to talk about. 50 with some glasses of wine you can say, oh, there's something funny there, and 50 are good. And I think as an actor, before I say goodbye to the world, that I can say I made 50 good films. That's quite a... Normally people always get committed to one film the rest of their life, and always say. So, I don't know, I have 10 films coming out now. I just did a new film with Mel Gibson, with Zala. I did the film The Puppet Master, I'm the Puppet Master. I did the film 5 Weeks with Geraldine Chaplin, Beautiful Kingdom with Laura Guzman. I have Iron Sky. So I'm taking a break.
So, are you taking a break?
Well, my dog is waiting for me at the airport in Los Angeles, and she can smell me from far, and she goes jumping in the air. And then I'll be driven to Palm Springs, and then I like to cook, so I will make a big pot of very healthy soup. Broccoli, potatoes, onions, carrots, celery, all a lot of garlic. So I will eat 3 days of soup to get my whole system cleaned up. And then I will plant trees again, and I cut all the leaves. I have about 80 palm trees, and the problem is they grow. And now I have to be with the thing to cut on the ladder, so it's a bit dangerous. And then I read scripts and see with her what is interesting. I will go to Berlin, yes. Laura, they change the title all the time. Laura Bistosi, she made one film, a very interesting, which got the first prize in Hong Kong, I think, her first film. It's about the political thing that a girl dresses as a boy to be accepted and is doing some. And that film is, of course, I'm the bad guy. I take horses to the slaughterhouse. The people can eat horse meat. So that's, yeah. And Sundance, I'm not going.
Like, for instance, like with some of your early films that where you're dubbed and maybe you thought that they misused you, they didn't use you in the right way, they weren't very respectful.
Well, Dario Argento in Suspiria, there, he met me and he wanted me to do that right away, and I didn't speak so well English, so they have a voice. Somebody else had the voice, and it was... For me, it was okay. I mean, I would have done it different. Today, even every film I make in America, that's why I really did downsizing the dubbing for Germany, so nothing can happen, because nobody can do that. I mean, directors who do dubbing, they don't like that the actor does it himself, because they cannot tell him anything, because I can say, hey, that's me, and I did it, and I got direction. So I'm just trying to fit the word, but the moment I know in German. Mm.
Do you still watch your older films?
No.
You never go back to revisit?
No, there are films which I have never seen. No.
Oh.
I see a film like now, Downsizing, once. Why should I see it again? That's why I don't see... how do you call that, rushes or something, or monitor, because every actor who looks at a monitor and there's a scene with two people, they only look at themselves, because that's normal. Mm-hmm. And then you think, and I believe in, when you make a movement, for example, you decide to make a movement, and you make that movement in the whole film, it becomes part of your role. But if you do the movement, then you watch on the monitor and you don't like it, so you make only one hand, and then you don't like that either, so you become like that. But if you do this all the time, then it works.
Yeah. But you mentioned earlier in one of the answers to the questions that I asked you that you like the attention that that you got at the start after making the first short?
Well, first, when you start, you like the attention in the restaurant. But now I don't like it because it disturbs me, and especially American people when they come to me and say, "Oh, I know you, man. You're in the film." Okay, yes, it's me. And then I say, "What are you doing now?" So, wow, then I have to give it. I say, "Oh, okay, nice meeting you." Now, because some people, you know, of course, who doesn't like attention, but there is actors who I stay in the back because it's too much.
Thanks very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.